A U.S. military wish list reveals a desire to prepare for a future conflict with China, but just what is on that wish list? Produced by Defense News and Military Times, this is the Early Bird Brief. Each morning, we bring you the defense and national security news of the day.
In the event of a U.S.-China conflict, they would very quickly lose munitions within a few weeks.
Also, General Mark Milley testifies over the Afghanistan withdrawal. What does this all mean for our defense and security? You'll find out. I'm your host, Simone Perez. Today is Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. First up, an Indo-Pacific Command wish list was obtained by Defense News. Just how do Indo-PACOM's asks compare to previous years? For more on this and to break it down for us, Capitol Hill reporter Brian Harris joins the episode. First, could you just kind of take us through this? What is the dollar amount of Indo-PACOM's wish list, and how does this compare to previous years, and what are some of the big items on that list?
The Indo-Pacific unfunded priority list for 2025 is unusually large this year. It comes in at $11 billion, which is a huge amount for one of these lists. For comparison, last year it came in at $3.5 billion, and even last year that was the largest wish list for any of the combatant commands, and even the second biggest wish list from all the military's unfunded priorities list last year. So it's a huge request that the Indo-Pacific is asking for. So that $11 billion, the vast majority of that goes towards military construction in the Indo-Pacific region. So basically they're looking at $3.5 billion for military construction infrastructure to host U.S. forces in the region. And again, a good comparison point, that $3.5 billion in military construction alone is almost the same amount as the total unfunded priority list for Indo-Pacific last year. And then after military construction, a lot of it is devoted, about $1.7 billion is devoted towards space programs, the details of which are classified, but some of that is to counter missile threats. There's a good amount of money for munitions in that wish list as well, and there's some money to beef up missile defenses for Guam.
And this wish list is almost three times higher than last year, right, Bryant? So is this in response to an increasingly aggressive China that we're seeing in the Indo-Pacific and the desire to shore up, you know, U.S. bases along with alliances in the region?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. That's what a lot of it is about. Obviously, with the huge military construction funding they're asking for, you know, that does appear to be geared towards it, making sure there's a sustainable presence of U.S. forces in the region. And the Biden administration has been making moves to do that. For example, last year, you may recall, there was an enhanced basing agreement with the Philippines, and the Philippines is starting to modernize some of its own bases that it's sharing with U.S. forces. Just a couple weeks ago, Congress renewed funding for an agreement with Pacific Island nations like Micronesia and the Marshall Islands, which in return provide military access for U.S. forces. And then when it comes to things like the munitions plus ups, for instance, that they want, that's because, frankly, there are, in the event of a U.S.-China conflict, they would very quickly lose munitions within a few weeks. That was a finding from a congressional war game that the House China Committee held last year. So, you know, the DoD in general is trying to plus up and ramp up munitions production as well, and that's why you see a lot of that on this list.
Another important story, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Mark Milley, testified before Congress over the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan in 2021. Capitol Hill Bureau Chief Leo Shane III joins the episode from the Hill. So, Leo, what did General Milley have to say about efforts to withdraw U.S. troops from Afghanistan?
Yeah, this appearance before the House Foreign Affairs Committee was the first time that we've heard from former General Milley since he's retired from his appointment as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And, you know, he appeared before the committee to talk about the Afghanistan withdrawal, said it's still important for him to provide accountability and provide some answers to the families of the folks who were killed in the Abbey Gate attack in the waning days of the Afghan withdrawal. Didn't get a lot of breaking news out of this one. It was a lot of what we've heard from Milley in the past in terms of his recommendations that military, at least a force of 2,500 military folks should have remained in there. That was a recommendation that President Joe Biden rejected and opted for a full withdrawal. But we did hear from Milley saying that, you know, he is committed to continuing to answer questions, continuing to talk about what happened, what he knew, and what mistakes were made. And that's something that provided some reassurances to the Gold Star families who were present at the hearing today.
I mean, to be frank, we are in the middle of an election year. Republicans have voiced their dissatisfaction with the withdrawal, and some pundits have pointed to the withdrawal as the beginning of President Biden's low poll numbers. All that to say, just how political did this hearing get, and what were Republicans and Democrats saying during the hearing?
Predictably, this became a pretty political hearing. You know, the Republicans were saying that this is indicative of Joe Biden's failure to lead properly in Afghanistan, that he has not taken responsibility and has not taken, you know, full blame for what happened over there. Democrats have, you know, voiced their recurring concern that their Republican colleagues seem to be focused on just the last few days in Afghanistan and not many of the other events that led up to the messy withdrawal, including the agreement from President Trump back in 2020 to withdraw troops in 2021. So, you know, I don't know that this broke new ground in terms of the politics here, but it does show that this is going to remain something throughout the summer, and at least Republicans hope they can make some headway on this. And the Democrats will keep pointing out that Afghanistan is a pretty complicated issue. And that's a refrain we also heard from General Milley at this hearing, that, you know, there's not one single cause, not one single problem that led to this. This was 20 years of problems, and we need to have a full analysis of everything that went into it to really understand how to avoid similar military problems in the future.
Also on your radar today, the Pentagon is working with Niger officials to keep U.S. troops at a key base for counterterrorism operations in sub-Saharan Africa. The effort comes after Nigerian military officials ordered U.S. personnel to leave the country over the weekend. Last July, a coup by Niger's presidential guard against its democratically elected president prompted U.S. officials to move U.S. personnel to a facility outside the country's capital. Months later, coup leaders asked French military forces to leave the country. In December, the U.S. military still had some 650 troops working in Niger at the base outside the capital. Here's why it matters. The Niger base is critical for U.S. counterterrorism operations in the Sahel and has been used for both manned and unmanned surveillance operations. But Pentagon officials said the only flights occurring at the moment are for force protection. U.S. officials from the military, State Department, and Defense Department traveled to Niger to meet with members of the military junta last week. After the meeting on Saturday, a junta spokesperson said U.S. flights over Niger's territory in recent weeks were illegal. A local activist who assists military rulers with their communications also criticized U.S. efforts to force the junta to pick between strategic partners like the U.S., Russia, and Iran. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said the U.S. was monitoring activities of U.S. adversaries like Russia.
Since the coup last year, we sought to work with the Nigerian junta towards a democratic transition and our shared security interest. Last week, Assistant Secretary Fee, General Langley, and Assistant Secretary of Defense Wallander were in Niamey for a frank conversation with the CNSP to explore how we can chart a common path forward and our concerns about the lack of progress towards a democratic transition and operational considerations for us to maintain a long-term security partnership as it relates to Russia, the Russian Federation's repeated violations of international law.
And now here's some other stories we're hearing chirps about. Authorities said yesterday that Iraq's former defense minister was arrested in Sweden. He is suspected of illegally receiving benefits in the Scandinavian country. The U.S. ambassador to the United Nations announced this week that the United States and Japan are sponsoring a U.N. Security Council resolution calling on all nations not to deploy or develop nuclear weapons in space. Air and Space Forces magazine reported that President Joe Biden nominated Major General Duke A. Pirak to become the next director of the Air National Guard. And astronaut Thomas P. Stafford died this week at the age of 93. The three-star Air Force general commanded a dress rehearsal flight for the 1969 moon landing and the first U.S.-Soviet space link-up. And on this day in history in 1965, President Lyndon Johnson notified Alabama's Governor George Wallace that he would use federal authority to call up the Alabama National Guard to supervise a planned civil rights march from Selma to Montgomery. That's it for us this morning. To get more top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on social media at defense_news and at Military Times. The Early Bird Brief is hosted and produced by me, Zimone Z. Perez. Today's episode featured stories by Brian Harris, Leo Shane III, and the Associated Press. Have a great day.